Buddha, Siddha Dharma, Siddha Sangha. I'm doing this little talk tonight. This is the 40th anniversary of my Kensho in 1977. The night of February the 8th, 1977. An event which ever since that time I have viewed as the real beginning of my life. Of course, people have many ideas about Kensho. And in fact, there seem to be different ways in which it is experienced. But as Reverend Master always emphasized, the basic steps of training and of enlightenment are the same. The type of experience I had 40 years ago was that first great flash of understanding. You could call it understanding. In a way, it's not actually understanding anything. It's just a great experience of the eternal, one that is beyond any possibility of the possibility of the possibility of doubting. It may be that not everyone needs to have that particular kind of experience. That's certainly not for me to say one way or the other on that. I wouldn't care to speculate on it. I only know firsthand my own experience, not another person's experience. And it is on the basis of that experience that I teach, not on the basis of someone else's experience. If someone were to ask me, at any time, how close or how far away are you, or indeed anyone, from enlightenment? I would answer, you're as close or as far away, precisely as close or as far away from enlightenment as you are from meditation. That the whole of enlightenment is contained within a moment of genuine meditation. We cannot just make the experience of enlightenment happen as a result of an act of our will. We can, however, apply our will to the act of meditating. And we can apply our will in that way in the midst of any circumstances of daily life. It's something that we can always work at. Something that, which we can always apply effort. The experience that I had all those years ago was the direct result of meditating literally for dear life, night and day. For about 2.5 months. Really about 2 months, almost exactly 2 months. And when I say that I literally ran to the meditation hall in the morning, I mean it very literally. I had one piece of teaching that I received from River Master and that I put into practice with everything I had and made my whole life and probably my sanity depend on it. And that teaching was very simply, just don't worry about external things. And for 2 months I pursued that with everything I had, night and day. And whenever I began to slip out of it, the suffering was immense. So I had every incentive to do that. It seems to me that few people have in their lifetime the opportunity to be so fortunate to have the exact circumstances, by which I mean the coming together of just the right teaching and just the right practice at a crucial point in their life. So that they can apply that teaching in the way I'm describing and make a great spiritual step in a very short time. You might say few people are perhaps crazy enough to do that or determined enough or desperate enough. But of course you need more than craziness or determination or desperation. You also need that teaching and the practice that can keep it from being genuinely crazy and that can enable you to focus that desperation in a realistic and grounded way rather than just thrashing about wildly. And they can help the determination stay grounded and within the middle path so that it doesn't become self-destructive. And I think that I was profoundly fortunate all those years ago to be in precisely the right situation, to have found my true teacher, to be in the place where I needed to be, to have the rug get pulled out from under me in the way that needed to happen for me, and then to be able and willing to grasp my will and put my master's teaching into practice in detail in the context of pure meditation. Of course, I wasn't meditating 24 hours a day in the meditation hall. I was meditating in the meditation hall. When we meditated in the meditation hall, I was going to my work, going to meals. So it was in the context of an ordinary daily life, as that is understood in a Zen monastery. It is not trying to do the impossible. And it is not doing the impossible. It is just making ourselves available to the Eternal so that the Eternal can do the work within our heart. It took me many, many more years to learn that that's really what's happening. Since I've been a master with disciples, since I've been a priest with congregation members, in other words, since I've been in the position of a teacher, over the years I've told many people how to do what I did all those years ago. It's not like it's some big mystery. And when I've told them, it was always because someone was in a crisis and really looking for a way forward spiritually. And it's amazing how few people actually, however desperate they are, and however deep the suffering, it's amazing how few people actually ever do what River Master told me to do and what I have advised people to do in similar circumstances. We will literally try everything else first. Before we just knuckle down and entrust our hands fully, entrust our lives fully into the hands of the Eternal. Nonetheless, very occasionally, someone actually does it. And when they do it, the results are guaranteed. It's cause and effect. Understanding, of course, that the timing with which things happen is not something that we can have generally very much insight into. So at the end of this talk, I come back to what I said at the beginning. We're as close or as far from Kensho, from the experience of enlightenment, as we are close or far from meditation.
Scripture of great wisdom.